Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. That's where we're going to be looking today. John chapter 15. Good to see a lot of kiddos here with us today. And we're going to just dive right into it. So John chapter 15, 1 through 8. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And we don't have the overhead, so I'll try to kind of repeat this. First thing is we need to remain in Jesus to have life. We need to remain in Jesus to have life. These verses really come to light when you look at the context that they're in. This is the last night that Jesus was spending with his disciples before his death. Jesus enjoyed the Passover feast with his disciples. He washed their feet. He had the Lord's Supper with them. And the last sentence in John says, come now, let us leave. So they were leaving the upper room and they were headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be arrested. As they walk from the upper room towards the Garden of Gethsemane, they would no doubt be among vineyards. It was a time of year when grapevines would be beginning to blossom. The object lesson was right in front of the disciples to see. Jesus was so good at putting a mental picture in people's minds when he taught. The theme of this passage just jumps out at the page at me. It is remain in me. Jesus says this four times in eight verses. He uses the word remain six times. And if you read on in this passage, he uses it to remain a couple more times in this passage. Why is Jesus stressing to remain in him so much? Because this was the message that the disciples really needed to hear. Within a couple hours, Jesus would be taken from them, and they would have to choose whether or not to stay with him or turn away. This night, this weekend, was a very critical point for the disciples to choose. Judas chose not to remain with Jesus. We know Judas received 30 pieces of silver to hand Jesus over to them. The disciples were faced with the choice to remain in Jesus when Jesus was arrested, but they all ran away and fled. Peter had a choice to remain in Jesus, yet he confessed three times, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Are they remaining in him? It didn't look like they were doing a very good job. The question is, what about us? Are we remaining in Jesus? We desperately need to hear this teaching as well. This teaching of remaining in him. Every day we have the choice, we have choices to reject Jesus and follow the patterns of the world. Choose Jesus or choose all the material possessions. Choose Jesus or choose this bad relationship. The disciples didn't know that they were going to be faced with trials later that night. It surprised them. Neither do we know when we're going to face trials in our lives. Jesus says in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Jesus seems to be telling us that we need to prepare ourselves before things happen in our lives. Build my faith in Him, and then I'll be strong enough to handle anything that comes my way. Jesus is crying out to us today, remain in me. Don't be fooled. You are going to have tough times in this life, but don't let them get the best of you. Strengthen your faith in me so you can handle anything this world throws at you. If we do not remain in Him and do not strengthen our faith, we will not be ready for the trials that come into our lives. The disciples had a couple bad days. Jesus' arrest, death, burial, they turned from Him. But they did turn back and were willing to die for Jesus after this. They were willing to do that because of the strong relationship they had with Him. Maybe a few people here today have strayed a little bit from Jesus. Things have come up in your life where you have been hiding out, doing other things. Now is your time to come back to the Lord. Get back to remaining in Him. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We all know that a branch has to remain in the vine to keep alive. You separate the branch from the vine, it dies. It will die. It gets its nutrients, its very life from the vine. So Jesus tells us that our life depends on staying connected to Him. And the famous, in the chapter before this, the famous verse, John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I mean, do you hear that today? No one has life except through Jesus. Our sin separates us from God. We need to remain in Him if we want to go to heaven and have eternal life. Jesus says, I am the only way to eternal life. Life only is in me. You got to be in the vine to have life. An interesting point that I want to mention about the vine and the branches is that the branch will never become independent from the vine. Never will it become independent from the vine. Think about this. When a child is conceived, the child in the womb is very dependent upon the mother for food for the 9 months or so in the womb. For some time after they are born, they are dependent on mom for food to eat. But once the child is weaned, it eventually starts to become more and more and more and more independent. Until soon, it doesn't need the mother anymore. Not so with the illustration with the branches. A branch will be as completely dependent on the vine for its nutrients when it's 50 years old as when it's 1 year old. It doesn't matter. The branch always needs the vine, just like saying that we always need Jesus. Jesus makes it very clear that life is in Him and in Him alone. You can't substitute anything else for the vine. There's no substitute for being connected to Jesus. If you are not connected to Jesus, look at what happens. Verse 6 in the passage says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That is not a very pretty picture here of these branches dying and being thrown into the fire. Again, this is a picture of hell. If we do not bear fruit for God and we don't remain in Him, we will be thrown into hell. I think this is a very big warning for us that we are bearing fruit and not just playing religion. Jesus over and over and over again accused the Pharisees, these religious leaders, of not bearing fruit. Think about that. These people were at the temple all the time. They read their Bibles. They gave the required money to the temple. But they didn't have a change of attitude in their lives. We need to develop a love for God. You hear that? We need to develop a love for God. Not a, I know God exists, but I got a love for God. We need to commune with God daily. I saw a quote that says this. I love this quote. It says, even if Jesus was born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, if he wasn't born in me, I am still lost. He could have been born 1,000 times physically in Bethlehem, but if he hasn't been born in me, I am still lost. The fact that Jesus came to earth does us no good if we do not embrace the truth and live in it. We need to receive the relationship that he desires to have with us, because without him, we are nothing and we can do nothing. A branch can do nothing without the vine. Well, the second thing I want us to see here today, the second thing is bear fruit for God's glory. Bear fruit for God's glory. If you are bearing fruit for God, that is great. That's what every Christian should be doing. That's the goal of every Christian. But don't stop there. You haven't reached your full potential yet. Christians are often too satisfied with bearing some fruit that they don't think about the potential that God has for them. Verse 2 says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. We carry over into our Christian lives a lot of things from our old life that is not Christ-like. We brought a lot of sinful luggage into our relationship with Jesus. But he accepts us with his grace. Praise God for that. Jesus doesn't expect us to clean ourselves up before we come to him. He welcomes us. Even though we have some sinful traits or dead branches in our lives. But through the process of sanctification, God cuts the old man out of our lives. He cleans us up. He prunes us. It doesn't happen all of a sudden or once and for all, but it takes a whole lifetime. He does it repeatedly and often. Slowly and surely, God's word is working in our hearts, cleansing us from the bad, so that we can bear fruit in our lives. A gardener continually prunes the same plant year after year. God continually prunes or cleanses our lives from the things that will not bear fruit for his kingdom. Everywhere you look on the tree, there should be fruit. If one side of the tree is bearing fruit and the other side is not bearing fruit, there's something wrong with that tree. There should not be a branch that is not bearing fruit. All of them should be bearing fruit. Likewise, there should be no area of your life that is not bearing fruit for God. The thing is, trees have bad areas in them, and if we're honest, so do our lives. So that is why the gardener comes in and he prunes. He cuts out those dead areas. He helps us be more productive. Get rid of the unproductive stuff to make room for the good. If we hold back certain areas of our lives from God, and that keeps us from us truly knowing him better. John 8:32, Jesus says this, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm sure you've heard that verse, the truth will set you free. But there is an important verse right ahead of that. How do we know the truth? Well, verse 31, right before that, says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. I want you to hear that. If you hold to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's a if and then. If you do something, then something will happen. If we hold to his teachings, then we'll experience freedom. We'll know the truth. We would like it the other way around. We would like to experience freedom first, and that would be much easier, then it'd be so much easier to obey Him. Most of us accepted Jesus, and He's brought us freedom from hell. But some of us are still held in bondage to sin in some aspect of the way that we live. Certain area of our lives, we are bound as slaves to sin. Certain area of our lives, we have not given God complete control. We still hold on to what we think is best. Verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple." The glory goes to God when the fruit is being borne. If people hear a good sermon, the pastor doesn't get the glory. God gets the glory because people take the word and they live it out in their lives. Some people may think bearing fruit is hard. Only super Christians can bear fruit. But bearing fruit is for all Christians. Fruit bearing is not hard. Fruit bearing only requires one thing. And what is that one thing? To remain in Jesus. If a branch remains in the vine, it's automatically going to bear fruit. It's a natural thing. The only requirement for a branch is to remain connected to the vine. And so when we stay connected to our vine, we read His word, we people of prayer, the fruit of God will undoubtedly be displayed in our lives. Let me give you an example of what kind of puts yourself in God's shoes here. Say you planted a bunch of tomato plants, and you're anxious to get good tomatoes off the tomato plants. But you go out there, and all there is this beautiful green tomato plant, but no tomatoes. Will it satisfy you that you got a bunch of nice, beautiful green tomato plants? I doubt it. You didn't plant the tomato plants to get the plant, but to get the fruit. In our Christian walk, have we become content in just having a plant and not concerned about bearing fruit in our life? Are we content just coming to church, maybe listening to the Christian radio, but making no behavioral changes in our lives? If you are not bearing fruit, you are not doing what you should be doing. In Luke 13, 6 through 8, it says this, "Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and went off to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now I've been coming to look for the fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?' 'Sir,' the man replied, 'leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.'" Let me tell you, God does not want a Christian in name only. He wants one that is out there remaining in Him and bearing fruit. When God comes to look for fruit in your life, does He find any? Like I said, tomato plants are useless if they don't have any tomatoes on them. Christians are useless if they are not bearing Christ-like fruit in their lives. Let me read verse 5 again. It says, "Jesus said, 'I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.'" Is it possible for us to remain in Jesus at the same time that He remains in us? Several years ago, a blacksmith gave his testimony to a man who was in his shop. He ended by saying, "I'm so glad that Christ, that I'm in Christ, and that Christ is in me." The next day, this man came back to the blacksmith shop and said, "I've been thinking. I don't think it's possible for you to be in Christ and Christ be in you." At that time, the blacksmith had a horseshoe in the fire, so he asked the man if the horseshoe was in the fire. And he replied, "Yes, the horseshoe's in the fire." Then the blacksmith took the horseshoe out of the fire and held it close to the man and asked, "Is the horseshoe in the fire, or is the fire in the horseshoe? And the fire was in the horseshoe at that time. He made his point. The horseshoe is affected by the fire because it sat in the fire for some time. Do you think the horseshoe would have fire in it if the blacksmith just kept it in the fire for a second or two? No. The fire was put into the horseshoe because the horseshoe remained in the fire for some time. And that's the same way with us. You see the parallel. Christ is in us not because we come to church for an hour each week on Sunday, but Christ is in us because we spend a lot of time with Him. When we spend time with Jesus, it affects us. There's a story in the Old Testament, story of Moses going up to the mountain of the Lord. And it says in Exodus 34, 29, it says, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two stone tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with God." Because Moses spent time in the presence of God, he didn't realize it, but his face was glowing. This happened many times. Each time Moses spoke with the Lord, his face was radiant. The people knew without a doubt Moses had been with God. When we spend time with God, it changes us. People can tell we are different. We are not lifeless, fruitless branches. We bear fruit for God. We display the fruit of the Spirit. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our lives are radiating in this dark world. So are we spending time with God? That's the application. The application is, am I bearing fruit in my life? Am I bearing fruit in my life? I want you to make it personal. Not Christians should do this. Not other people are doing this. But the question is, am I doing this? The best way I can explain remaining in Christ is think of a faucet. When a faucet is closed, no water can come out of it. We're not spending any time with Jesus, and no water can come out of that faucet. When the faucet is open, water can flow from the spout. And the wider that the valve is open, the more water comes out. If the valve is open as wide as it can, the water can flow freely and continually. Remaining in Christ is like having the water faucet turned on and the valve wide open. In order for Christ, who is the living water, to remain in us, we have to turn on the water faucet. The wider we open the valve, the more of Christ can flow into our lives. So in order for Christ to remain in us, let's turn on the valve, open it up. So how do we do that? How do we remain in Christ? Well, a couple things I want to mention here. One is to have no known sin in your life. If you have sin in your life, unconfessed, the one thing our holy God cannot abide, in fact, the only thing that can separate us from Him and all He has in store for us, is sin. So we need to confess that sin. If you want Christ continually renewing you, if you want to always feel His presence, strength, comfort, and peace, if you want to live free from fear and doubt, then you must keep the water faucet on, turned on, and make sure that you have no known sin in your life that has gone unconfessed. I confess my sin of this and that. Nothing can clog the pipe faster or more securely than sin. Too many Christians are too full of junk to be any use of God. They aren't getting the full benefits of the living water in their lives because of sin that they have not confessed. Other ways to remain is obviously is to be in the Word of God. Be in the Word. That God is telling you about Himself right there, telling you about His promises that He has for you, the things that He's done, the things that He wants to do in your life. Be in prayer. Spend time talking. We have this great privilege of talking to the Creator of the universe. Man, if you think you had to if you could talk to the president or you could talk to somebody in power, you think that would be an amazing thing. But we can talk to the creator of the universe. Fellowship with the saints. Be together on Sunday morning, Wednesday nights. Come together in fellowship. Sing praise songs. Nothing, the devil flees fast when we sing praise to God. So turn on some praise songs. Sing throughout the week. Remain in Him is not just a list of things that we do for God, but being still and letting God speak into our lives. Whatever it may be, it's not a list of things to do. I gave you a couple things that you can do to help you in that, but it's really being still and allow God speak to you. Martha found the hard way, found out the hard way. Jesus was coming to her house. Could you imagine if a big celebrity was coming to your house to have lunch? You want everything to be just right. You stress over all the details. And then suddenly you realize that you're the only one doing all the work. That's what happened to Martha. She was doing all the work and everyone else was just hanging out with Jesus. So Martha takes it out on her sister Mary, who decided it was better to sit at Jesus' feet than to help prepare the meal. And in Luke 10, 40 to 42, Jesus says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So I want you to see here, it's not that we need more activity in our life. Not even more religious activity. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. He is the vine, the source, and the strength. We are the branches, the conduit of His power that flows through. I want us to see that we are just branches. There is no real sustaining power within us without Jesus. On our own, we will run out of steam and ultimately become useless. It's the difference between being a pitcher and a faucet. So kind of picture in your mind a pitcher and a faucet. When we do things in our own power, we are like a pitcher. Eventually, we will run dry out of stuff to give, and that leaves us empty and useless. A faucet, on the other hand, is continually connected to a source of water. It doesn't run dry. It can deliver water as long as you need it because it is continuously and directly connected to the source of the power. So how do we stay connected? I'm sure most of you are thinking, I read my Bible, I pray, I come to church. What am I missing? For the most part, it's not the things that we are doing, but the attitude and how we do them. These are good things that we need to do, but we can easily do these things and not have the right attitude. Just be going through the motion. That we're not drawing any closer to Christ as we do this. We are just checking something off of our list. Hey, I read this devotional today. I read my chapter on my Bible today. This isn't worship. It's not abiding in Him. And it won't draw us any closer. It's just empty religion. And Jesus didn't give Himself for religion. He gave Himself for a relationship. The key to staying close to Jesus is the attitude behind the actions of us drawing closer to Him. The idea behind Jesus' words, remain in Him, is that we seek to always be in a state of conscious awareness of Him. He is always with us, but we aren't always aware of that because we are caught up and distracted with everything else that's going on in our lives. It's the same idea that Paul encouraged us to pray without ceasing, to always be in prayer, to have an attitude of prayer. The psalmist who wrote to meditate on God's word day and night. Meditate, think about God's word day and night. And Isaiah writing about our minds being steadfast on God. Are your minds steadfast on God? Are you meditating on God's word? Are you praying without ceasing? A final issue that I'll mention is that we're just too big a hurry to sit down at Jesus' feet. We're too busy. We say a prayer or read a chapter or two in the Bible to check it off our list of things to do. We rush into church. Usually just get there right on time, maybe a little late. We're all right with that. Do what's expected of us and then run out the door as quickly in order to do other things that we got in our lives. We rush through our lives and fit Jesus in if we can. And maybe we can't fit him in. It's time to be still. During Jesus' ministry, he took time to go off by himself to spend with the Father. If Jesus needed that time with the Father, how much more do we need that time? Jesus sent his disciples solitary places with himself to spend some time with them. Prioritize our schedule to draw you closer to God. We can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and yet enjoy very little of the reality of his companionship. When you love a person, you want to spend time with that person. Likewise, you get to know a person through close, intimate fellowship when you spend time with them. I kind of want to close by reading a quote by Francis Chan, a preacher. He says that the American Christians have become like the people of Israel. That's not always good being compared to the people of Israel. They chose the voice of Moses over the voice of God. We idolize pastors, teachers, missionaries, and other religious leaders. We flock to hear them speak to us when we really need to do is to go up the mountain and speak directly with Jesus. He's given us that privilege, but far too many of us don't take advantage of that. That's convicting to me to hear that. We seek the voice of Moses over the voice of Jesus. We listen to preachers but fail to get into God's word on our own, to read, to hear what God has to say. Let us remain in Jesus, not remain in Bremen Missionary Church, not remain in so-and-so who speaks on the radio. Let us remain in Jesus. Let us hear his voice. Again, he wants to bring a revelation to you. Don't always just come. I'm glad you come on Sunday morning to hear what God has revealed to me that I can reveal to you. But you need to go get into the Bible and get the revelation yourself from God. He wants to give you personal revelation yourself. So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. There may be days and some situations that are hard to remain in Jesus. But as we practice in remaining in Jesus, it will become natural to us. We will desire to spend time with God to feed the Spirit that He has placed inside of us. We will grow to have a desire that we want to draw closer to Him. And so, let's stand, and we're going to sing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." So let's stand together.
If you could get your hymnals, number 564, 564, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee."